Between the 19th century California gold rush and Klondike gold rush, there were a bunch of lesser-known gold strikes in the Pacific Northwest. The small town of John Day in eastern Oregon once had a big Chinatown filled with immigrant miners infected with gold fever. None of their descendants remain, leaving it to archaeologists to breathe life into their stories. Correspondent Tom Bonsi tagged along for some high-tech archaeology in John Day.
Start the scan.
Lou Summers looks a bit like a prospector, his sun hat tipped back, eyes glued to the ground, tools strapped to his belt.
You can see here on the screen, well, there's an interesting feature right here. See this? These little hyperbolas?
Yeah. Summers is prospecting, but not anything like the gold miners of old. He pulls a ground-penetrating radar on a small sled back and forth across a gravel parking lot.
That might be a foundation of a...
Yes, it could be a foundation.
Summers was part of a team hired by Oregon State Parks to help find traces of the former Chinatown in John Day. Back around 1885, the small town had one of the biggest Chinatowns in the U.S. after San Francisco, Portland, and Tacoma. Now there's just one solitary building left of what might have been 100 at the peak.
We can make very excellent images of what's underground, down to about 2 meters, meter and a half or so. And 90-some percent of the world's archaeology, especially in North America, is within the first 3 or 4 feet of the surface.
The survey at the Camwa-Chung State Historic Site involves no digging, no trowels or dusty researchers in trenches. Southern Oregon University archaeologist Chelsea Rose says the team probes the earth without disturbing the earth by using aerial photos, that ground-penetrating radar, and a fancier version of a handheld metal detector called a magnetometer. Rose says archaeology could be an important tool to flesh out the lives of people who left few records before they moved on or were chased away.
Most of these rural communities that once had hundreds, if not thousands, of Chinese residents, they're not there anymore, and that story is lost if we aren't there to kind of make sure that it gets added back into the history books and not just as an exotic footnote of, oh, Chinese miners were here or Chinese built the railroad. There's a lot more substantial history and personal stories and, you know, there's a lot more to add to that narrative.
Mining history in eastern Oregon is just the start.
Chinese immigrants were a critical component of Oregon's early history, both in the mines, in the railroads, in the cannery business on the coast, in the hops fields, in different agriculture. You know, so really this, there's no end to how big this project can get.
The multi-year, multi-agency project extends into the forested hills and gullies of the Malheur National Forest. That part of the investigation relied heavily on LIDAR, a laser beam instrument that produces detailed surface maps. Forest Service archaeologist Don Han says mining sites revealed by LIDAR show Chinese immigrants had a much bigger presence than previously assumed.
And it's pretty solid that about 80% of the gold miners out here from about, say, 1866 through 1900 were Chinese.
80%?
Yeah, 70 to 80%. And so that just flipped my way of looking at it, that we should assume it was Chinese until we show it's not.
Han says 4 excavations this summer of ruined miners' camps turned up hundreds of artifacts that speak to daily life. The researchers found signs of active trade between the wilds of Oregon and San Francisco and southern China. Things they found included preserved ginger, opium cans and pipes, and imported ceramics. The project partners plan to return next summer with a core of students and citizen volunteers to do more excavation and ground truth what the remote sensing data uncovered. I'm Tom Bonsi in John Day, Oregon.